Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. Here in the end of Isaiah, one of the most amazing books in the Bible. I'll never let anyone tell you that Old Testament is not applicable to modern everyday Christian life, because if you took away the New Testament, the entire ministry of Christ is in the Old Testament. All of the prophecy of his birth, death, what he did in hell, his sacrifice, everything that is listed in the New Testament is already in the Old Testament. Here in chapter 64, book of Isaiah. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. God, you are amazing. You are wonderful. You are all powerful. What he's saying there is, when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. That is a very powerful statement in verse 4. All that Isaiah is basically saying, all that God has done, all the miracles, all this creation of the world, is nothing compared to those who wait on him and obey. The great rewards that are coming for obedience. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned, in those is continuance, and we shall be saved. We're sinners, and we continue to be sinners. Doesn't seem to be anything we can do about it. I know. You said, follow us with all your heart, follow me with all your heart, and circumcise your children, what you told Abraham, he told us. We just couldn't seem to do it, so you gave us a law as a punishment and as a guiding post so that we could do things with our hands and try to make it feel like we were covering ourselves, but we just continually sin and we can't do anything about it. But we shall be saved by your grace. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And that's referring to the law right there. We are unclean, and we've seen that many times in past episodes. Under the law, you could unconsciously be unclean. You could accidentally become unclean. It didn't even require intent of the heart or mind to do bad things. You could scoop up a handful of earth, and it'd have a dead critter in it, and you are unclean at that time. And it says all of our processes, our religious processes that we go through, are ridiculous, and they continually leave us as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And he goes right there to the present state of Israel at the time. God has turned his back because they are very disobedient. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter. We all are the work of thy hand. Yes. The Almighty made you for one purpose, to bring glory to him. Remember that, Christian. Be not wrought very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire. And all our pleasant things are laid. All our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Chapter 65, Book of Isaiah. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Interesting, I am sought of them that ask not for me. Every man has an emptiness inside his soul because God, you knew God before he placed you in the womb. And the veil of innocence of childhood was placed upon you. But the soul only finds peace with God. I am sought of them that ask not for me. You don't know when you come here as a child what you're missing. This is a testing ground to see if you can find your way back to him. I am found of them that sought me not. Interesting how he searched out Abraham, a man with a good heart. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. And every single person in this life, God had a plan for. The Jews were his chosen people for a specific purpose, to bring forth the Savior of the world, but no one was ever excluded. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. And he's talking about the Jews right there. He calls them stiff-necked, rebellious, and disobedient. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. Yes, remember Jonathan back in the Exodus, when God was actually present in the camp? He'd go away for a moment, and it's like, Dad's gone, party! To his face, that sacrificeth in gardens, burneth incense upon altars of brick. And those are foreign altars. God is very specific about how his altar was to be built. So that is referencing to false religion and false gods, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. You have just totally turned your back on this law that I gave you as a punishment to try to get you in line. But you have no fear of the law, you have no fear of me, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day. And he's just bashing religion right here, because religion will puff you up and make you feel holy. And you actually sometimes don't even have a relationship with God, don't even know his name, but you wear that religious cloak as though you are the holiest vessel in the neighborhood. Be
or
careful.
Those that go after their own thoughts and yes, think that they're right and they're completely backwards.
Absolutely. In their own vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all day. Think about that verse 5 there in 65 of Isaiah, Christian. Next time you are judging one of your neighbors, thou shalt not judge thy neighbor. I know that's not written exactly like that, but there's a passage in here that says, I dare not judge my neighbor, for I know not what his father has told him is acceptable for him. And you know what? His father is the same as your father. But some things for the stronger individual, the man who follows God with more of his heart, some things might be given him that is not given you, Christian, because you are not capable of handling it. Do never, never judge your neighbor.
Seriously.
Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence. but will recompense, even recompense into their bosom. I will bring affliction on anyone who disobeys me, God says, right into your own body. What did Jesus say to the man that he healed? Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. And that explains right there, believe it or not, a lot of affliction of the human body and a lot of diseases of the human body. Not only is he adding up your disobediences, he's adding up your fathers and his fathers to the fourth generation, what he says earlier. And it can afflict you in this life. You pay for your sins in this life. I curse those of the third and fourth generation who hate me. And I'll read that one more time. Your iniquities, your sins, and the iniquities of your fathers, not father, fathers, together. Your father's sins. Oh, well, you don't pay for the sins of your father. Yes, you in your body, your spirit man, no, he is held accountable for what he does while he's here. God says, I place you, the spirit man, in the heart to gain control of this carnal mind, which is at odds with God, and to lead this abominable flesh down a narrow path. But this body you're living in couldn't be afflicted by sins of your past fathers. And that's exactly what he's saying right there. You pay for the sins of this life in this flesh, which have burned incense upon mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, worshipped other gods, basically. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom. I will afflict their flesh by the works of their hands, because their spirit did not follow me. Their spirit man did not follow me. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Read that one more time. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. There is good in you. I have given promises concerning you. I will not destroy you completely. And the new wine of Christ's ministry and salvation will be available at one time. And I will bring forth a seed. There he is right there. I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. That's a beautiful passage there. Christian, read it over and over about 60 times today and ponder it. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that I have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forgot my holy mountain, and prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. The damned. And we're going to read that again. We're going to go back to verse 11. But ye are they that forsook the Lord, disobedient, that forgot my holy mountain. You forgot how to praise and worship me, that prepare a table for that troop. That's an interesting adjective there. That troop. You are pandering to the lost of the world, joining them, that furnish the drink offering unto that number. You have given unto the unworthy the holy things that I have given you. Therefore I will number you to the sword. Your days are numbered, and you will die, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, he did not answer. When I spake, he did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. And the Bible says God calls all. And he says, when I called, you didn't hear. When I spoke, you didn't answer. All you did, the days of your life, were continually evil before my eyes. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. And he's talking about spiritual hunger there, and spiritual drink, the necessary staples for the spirit, not the body. And it's also a picture of hell here. And we're going to read it again. And, you know, hell is not the lake of fire. If you read Dante's Inferno, he gives a very accurate portrayal of what I believe hell is. And hell is everything that you desire. And it's different for everyone. You're alone there. And all of the things that you desire in life are within reach, but not able to be reached, if that makes any sense. Let me go on, then we're going to back up and read it again. Behold, my servants shall sing for the joy of heart. Ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Let me go back to 13, and when I read it this time, think about it as a description of hell. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Can you imagine that? Hungry, thirsty, and full of shame, just to begin with. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. They say the further the spirit is from God, the more deserted and alone that it is. And the absolute feeling of despair just overwhelms. Ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from mine eyes. And that is a tabulation of those who follow God. The verse 13 to 14 is a chronicle of those who go to hell. And 16 is those who had followed God and were very obedient. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That is an absolute blessing. You know, this Christian told me, oh, we'll be all brand new in heaven. We won't know anybody. Yes, you will. You'll have your relationships, and you'll know those who you knew here. But he says the troubles and all of the bad remembrances of this world will not be brought with you. So if someone that you love did not come, it's not going to vex your spirit there. It's going to be removed from you. And that is an act of great kindness and great mercy by God. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And this is after the millennial period, the new earth, God's kingdom, and the city of heaven comes down. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. That's a very, very interesting verse there. We're going to read it again. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. What is that saying, Jonathan? We all going to be in our ripe, perfect age there. I do believe that's what it says. But the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. I don't exactly know what that last portion is referring to.
It's almost, it almost makes me think that if you're living right, that you'll live a youthful existence for that 100 years, but if you're living as a sinner, that you'll age like an old rag by the time you hit that 100-year mark. It's almost what's coming to mind for me, anyway. But that's just an idea.
Yeah, and that could be applicable during the millennial period. And it's possible from 19 to 20, we have switched from God's kingdom coming down after the millennial period to the millennial period. Let's look at 19 again and just try to get some understanding there. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. That's definitely when God's kingdom comes down. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. I just don't quite get it. Mm-hmm. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and inhabit and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people and mine elect, shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and thus shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy all in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And you thought, Christian, that you were going to float around on a cloud. No, 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 no. It's going to be families. It's going to be communities. It's going to be the way it should have been to begin with. And we are here at the last chapter 66, book of the amazing book of Isaiah. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if a blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. That is to the religious person right there. God is basically saying them, because he's gone right down the list there, listed all of the many of the religious obligations within the Levitical law. And he's saying they're not good. He that killeth an ox is as though he murdered a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. And we all know that you could not sacrifice a dog during the Levitical time. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood, and swine were absolutely forbidden. An accursed animal, the Bible says. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Be very careful with religion, Christian. God wants a personal relationship with you. He says, follow me with all your heart, Jesus did, and be baptized. Reestablishment of the first covenant given to Abraham. Follow me with all your heart and be circumcised your children. Verse 4. Chapter 66. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, They did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Just a repeat of what he talked about earlier when he talked about what hell was going to kind of be like. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out of my, for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Question mark. Or shall a nation be born at once? Question mark. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad for her. Being good to be here with you on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.